a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi guys, it's Bran. I love Hallmark Love Ever After movies.
Hey, it's Panda. I like Hallmark Love Ever After movies.
Oh, it's Dan, and I despise Love Ever After movies.
It's Alonzo, and I like Love Ever After movies when they get real gay.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Oh,
happy Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten enough Alonzo recently, we brought him back. Two days in a row. Alonzo, you're the real deal, I think, is what I'm trying to say. You're the real deal. I was unsure until this point. I'm like, you know what? He's the real deal.
Mm-hmm. If you mean that I'm a real bargain, yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, we don't pay anything, but your rider is ridiculous. Yeah.
It's true. Where are my tuberose candles?
You get to control the climate in this room somehow. I don't know how we signed off on that, but you do somehow.
I saw that bit on the Facebook group about people saying how I looked like I was freezing.
But he wasn't.
I wasn't. I just, you know, I like to bundle sometimes. Yeah. I'm a big layer boy.
You are a big layer boy, for sure.
They call me Layer Larry.
Layer Larry is what they call
it. Do they? Yes. Don't ask why.
Odd.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, how are you? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Panda, haven't seen you since Thursday. You doing okay?
Hey, man, doing so good. Doing so
what
good.
Do you mean Friday? He was on the Friday show, was he?
He was. That's right. I can't keep days straight in my mind.
You did look at him on Friday and go, I'm not even going to look
at you. I'm not even going to look at you.
Yeah, you did.
And it hurt. And but, you know, we've made amends.
We have made amends. Yeah. We have made amends. And Dan, you're doing well?
Yeah, I can't complain.
Tell everybody quickly about that new juice.
What new juice? Oh, the new juice. Dude, I don't think we can say anything yet.
No?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No, not till it's for certain.
Okay.
All right.
Stay tuned for that new juice, everybody. We're talking about Mix Up in the Mediterranean today. I'm very excited about this one. Lots of hubbub about it for lots of different reasons.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to all of those different reasons. But before we do that, no mix-up here. Bramble Jam Plus is the, I believe what they're calling the bargain of the year.
Bargain of the year. Yeah. And you can get on the Facebook group and determine for yourself if Bran looks like he's freezing or if he's just a Layer Larry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do that right now.
BrambleJamPlus.com, you can sign up. And even if you just do the bottom tier, you're going to get all these bonus. You get the bonus gavel and the bonus base side and all sorts of good stuff nowadays. So BrambleJamPlus.com. And I think coming up in the next week or so, if you're an all-access member, you're going to get lunch with the boys.
Lunch with the boys.
Fun.
Big Zoom sesh, lunch. Everyone's excited.
Talking.
That is what I'm hearing.
What are we catering for everybody?
O'Reilly's.
That's why I wanted
Auto Parts.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. they have a lot of good stuff, good options.
Get out of town.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that's when we were going to unveil the juice. I didn't want to do it before now.
Sorry, I thought, we did our wires crossed. Our wires were crossed. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the juice later. All right, guys, we already talked about Mix Up in the Mediterranean.
So
Mix Up in the Mediterranean originally aired on February 20th, 2021. And who's that?
That's me.
And it went a little something like this. Josh is a chef at a diner in Alaska who has bigger dreams to be a chef with the big boys, but also wants to stay true to his roots. Meg is an event planner who is planning this culinary contest. Don't call it a cooking thing. It's a culinary contest. Competition. Julian, Josh's twin brother, is a chef with the big city boys who is going to compete in this competition in Malta. And he calls up Josh and says, hey, I need a third person. Would you like to come along? You're always staying there in Alaska. Why don't you come along for one of these big trips? And he's like, fine, I will come along, which is a good thing because Julian hurts his back picking up his bag right before he goes down to register for the event. And so Josh is like, no problem. Give me your ID. I'll go down there. I'll sign up for you. It's going to be like we used to do this all the time. Tom Kinder fiasco. You know the kind. So he goes down to sign up his brother as him, but as, you know, you get what I'm saying. And he bumps into Meg. And they've bumped into a couple times at this point, and he's really taken aback by her. But he's at the point now where he has to act like he is his brother. And his brother has a husband, and so he can't seem interested in her, and he can't give her any reason to think that he is not Julian. So he registers, but he signs his name as Jay, last name, and so he, just to kind of, you know, because he doesn't want to lie. He's not a liar, so he just does that, and that's the name of the restaurant as well. He's very on brand. So he registers. He wants to prove that he can do this. This is a moment for him where he can kind of show off his chops. And so he tells Julian, let me do this. And Julian's like, okay, you can do it. So Josh, as Julian, keeps finding himself hanging out with Meg, and he really likes her. And she's like, if you weren't who you are, we'd be perfect together. She opens up about how she was in love with the guy, was a liar, which, you know, welcome back. Really unfortunate because, you know, he is also. The first round happens, and Josh does great, but Julian gets mad for chopping veggies, not how Julian would, which is a very Julian thing to say, Julian. But Josh still manages to move on. They keep hanging out, and they cook cheeseburgers together, and they have a wonderful night together. And the next competition comes along. Someone messed with his workstation, turned off all the power, all the veggies gone, all the good stuff gone. He has to make something. So he goes to this kitchen nearby, gets some food, and he puts together a nice cheeseburger in honor of Meg. And he moves on to the finals. And Julian comes down after winning with that cheeseburger, and he's like, it's my turn. I'm back. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the finals. They argue. And one of the competitors overhears this and is like, oh, no, you didn't. He finally agrees to not let Julian go. He's going to do the whole competition. But this competitor goes to the top guys and is like, hey, I know the truth. And Josh goes to talk to Meg, and he feels like he's about to tell the truth. But Meg gets a phone call from the top dogs, and they're like, we got to go now and talk. And they tell Josh, hey, we know the truth. Julian's there as well. You guys are disqualified. And Meg, the only reason why you're not fired is because you're the only person who knows how to run this event. And so congratulations. But Josh, Julian, take your knives and leave. And they're very upset about this. But he's especially upset because Meg thinks that he's a liar. And it's like, I don't even want to talk to you. Get out of here. I'm not interested. But he does go to find her later on, and she says, hey, loophole, the contract doesn't say Julian's name. You signed it as Jay. You didn't sign his name. You signed Jay, which is technically you, and so you can do this if you want to. And but also, just stay away from me because you're a liar. I don't want to be friends with you anymore, blah, blah, blah. So Julian, Josh, they go, they fight, and they fight for their right to party, and they say, hey, we're in this competition. The contract is a poor contract. You shouldn't have been so bad at your job. Let me do my cooking. And they say, well, I guess you are going to do that. And Josh even gets Julian to be a sous chef. And so they get to work together. They put together this wonderful, magical dish from back home, and it ends up winning the competition. Yay! Josh goes up to Meg and is like, hey, I won the competition. Do you want to get together? And she's like, no. Still a liar, but he's like, hey, I know there's something between us, and you once told me back then that 2 months, if you can't get over someone in 2 months, then it's meant to be, something like that. I don't know. And so he's like, I want my 2 months. Cool. Cool line, Josh. So Josh goes back to New York, and he starts to work with his brother. They're getting a restaurant together to do a new grand reopening with a new menu, including a cheeseburger. Can you believe it? I can. Meg walks to the door for the grand opening, and everybody's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. So they leave so that Josh and Meg can kissy-kiss. They talk about how much they like each other, and they talk about how excited they are about the restaurant. And that, my friends, was Mix Up in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, it is.
That's exactly right.
Did it. Wow.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
We're going to break this episode down. This episode, and by this episode, I mean this movie. In this episode.
Break it down.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to our hot takes and the sorts. Can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts about this movie. But
hot
we're gonna
takes
take a quick break.
The sword?
And the sorts.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Dude, hot takes and the sword.
So good.
It is a shame what happened to them because they should have worked on. Through their differences.
When they broke up, it was the end of that Russian house DJ scene.
Oh, I hate that. We'll be right back here on Decked Allmark. See, they're good.
They're so good.
We're talking about Mix Up in the Mediterranean today here on Decked the Hallmark. Very excited to break this down. And to do that, we have the hot take where we each share exactly how we felt about this movie. And we don't hold back. No holding back here, boys. Can we all agree? No holding back. I'm gonna start with Panda. Panda hasn't held bars in, I believe, 14 years.
Last time I held a bar, I said, never again.
No more. And so you've been holding true to that pledge. And I'm going to see how you do today. What did you think about Mix Up in the Mediterranean?
Well, just to hold on to your horse, because no bars will be held yet again, Brand. This movie is pretty solid overall. Okay. first of all, really love how the actors just get along in this movie. I really think they had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun watching them. I thought that there was some great dynamic there. Really enjoyed that. The plot's different. You know, it has a fun kind of zany feel to it that we don't normally get. There's some hijinks involved. I like that. That's fun. It's good to have some hijinks from here and there. Beautiful scenery.
from here and from there.
Yeah. I said what I said, and I stand by every bit of it.
You should.
Hijinks coming from everywhere.
Everywhere. Left and right, up, down, everywhere.
Yep.
Hey. Another hijinks.
Look out for those hijinks.
But here's the deal. For some reason, I don't know why, this movie still felt like a little bit of something was missing for me that I didn't quite get the feels in this movie. Like, I had fun with it, but I don't know if it gave me any sort of emotional feels. I didn't really feel that as much with this movie. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a solid movie overall. It's in my opinion, by far the best one we've had in February.
Not as good as Taking a Shot at Love.
No, Taking a Shot at Love is a masterpiece. But you
hockey
know,
player Luke McFarlane.
But movie. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to compare it on that scale, almost every movie's going to fall flat.
That's right. That's
but
true.
When you compare, on its own terms, this movie is great. And I had a lot of fun.
It's unfair to hold it up to a classic like Taking a Shot at Love.
You understand. And I appreciate that you've come around.
It took me some time to see it.
Sure. Thanks.
Yeah.
Alonzo, what do you think of this movie?
I'm mostly with Panda on this one. In fact, I'm reminded of something that Panda said, I want to say on the Snow Bride episode, where sometimes a Hallmark movie gets good enough that it falls into the category of like bad romantic comedy.
I said that.
No, I said that.
You said that. Yeah, I said that while we were watching the movie before the episode.
No.
If he said it, he took it from me. I can promise you that, Alonzo.
Okay. I'll let you guys work that out on your own time. But anyway, this to me felt like good enough to be a bad romantic comedy under other circumstances. But by Hallmark, means like the top of the heap. Definitely the best location movie I think I've seen from them, because usually, when they jet off to some exotic locale, you get a couple of scenes in front of some real touristy thing, and then the rest of it is shot on some like back alley of Bulgaria somewhere. But this one, like just the shoreline and the marketplace, and like it makes Malta just look probably its best since Robert Altman's Popeye. I agree with Panda also in that chemistry wise, the love story doesn't quite land. Like, it's definitely it's written well enough where I got the relationship as far as them having things in common. I liked the things like the 2 months, and they plant stuff along the way to sort of make the story work. So in a lot of ways, I was impressed with that. And, you know, the gay stuff I thought was fine. You know, it was your usual kind of, we're back to the Hallmark side hug, you know, like this is because it's a married couple. So, you know, they don't get to have like an arc. They're just like, they're lovely together and that's it. But yeah, this was fine. I had fun.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit higher than you guys are. I loved it. I think it's my favorite of the year so far. I just thought it was really fun. And I thought, what's his, Jeremy Jordan? Is that his name?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Love him. I thought he was fantastic. And I thought he did a really good job of separating the characters the best that you can. I thought that they both of the twins had their own flavor that he brought to both of those characters, which I thought was really good. And I thought Jessica did a good job in this movie. I liked them when they were together on screen. It worked for me. I get the not, like, I wasn't rooting for them hard like I would maybe some other characters. When he said, I want my 2 months, like, I felt like you said it a little aggressively, but I kind of liked it at the same time.
You're on the clock.
You're on the clock. I'll see you in New York. So yeah, I mean, overall, I really, really love this movie. Best of the year so far. But maybe
is it better than The Stalwart Taking a Shot at Love?
I would say yes. it's really
he
just
doesn't a. Get it. He's not, he doesn't, he's not an artist.
I don't get it. I think the performances in this movie really are what take it over the edge. I thought it was really good performances all around. Big fan for Brain.
Yeah, I don't like this movie. And I would also say that the entire movie hinges on a bracelet that virtually makes no sense whatsoever. And Malta is just a melting pot of indeterminate accents, I guess. But having said those two things, it's my favorite leading male performance of the year. I laughed more in this movie than I think I have, maybe.
On purpose.
On purpose. Yeah. Yeah, of course. At actual laughed, and it's the subtle nuances of Jeremy Jordan, what he's doing in the performance. I hate that they made his brother, Julian, kind of the worst person. Like, he's kind of awful, like terrible for the majority of the movie, and seems to just all of a sudden have great character growth at the very end. It seemed like it just was, there's a lot of questions. But I love the scenery, and I laughed. And it's the best performance. So if you take those three things into account, it's the best one of the year. It's the best one that they've done so far this year in New Year, New Movies or Love Ever After. So I'll give it that.
Did you like it?
No, I didn't. I would never watch this movie again under any circumstances. But it has more to recommend than any other movie.
Under any circumstances?
You know what I mean. Under any normal circumstances that don't involve me getting paid a lot of money.
Okay.
Or a gun.
If you watch this, you get to hang out with Ben Affleck for the day.
No. Who cares?
You get to hang out with Ben.
That's the dumbest
get Duncan.
Of all the thing.
Get Duncan?
Yeah.
No, I'll pass. That case. Hard pass. Sorry.
Get to play golf with me.
Well, that's not I get to play golf whenever I want, and you're always invited.
Yeah, but I'll actually come this time.
But that's basically like getting paid lots of money. I mean, let's be honest. Like, getting to play golf with you, that is hitting the lottery. Just getting to watch and record it.
But it's a more normal circumstance, yeah. I'm just saying.
You watch this movie, Crandall doesn't come around anymore.
Ooh, what about Janny?
Janny's still here.
No. Do you have one, Alonzo?
Could I have the Duncan without the Ben Affleck?
I get free Duncan, no Affleck.
Deal.
Back on board.
Deal. What about like Matthew McConaughey or someone? Someone fun.
I don't know, man.
Affleck's a sad sap right now.
But all of these are things that are of value that you can't put them on. Like, that's not an option. So anything.
It is an option in this hypothetical.
It's a contest or sweepstakes. I'm talking about on a normal situation. It is not a sweepstakes. In a normal day under any
Matthew
normal circumstance.
Matthew loved this movie. He's upset about what you said. If you give it one more shot, Dan,
no.
I'll finally come around. All right, all right, all right.
He did say that. I heard him.
He tweeted that out. He didn't even know Mike. Do you know Matthew McConaughey?
I do.
Oh, that's wild.
Me and Matt go way back.
It's unbelievable.
It's not for all the feels. It's part of the show. We talk about what in this movie gave us those feels. Panda?
Not a lot of feels, but when they brought out that burger, that's the best looking Hallmark burger I've seen.
And for the judges.
Oh, yeah, the judges. Yeah. That is a clutch looking burger. I'm going to say something bold.
Oh, boy.
That's the best looking food that has ever appeared on a Hallmark movie that we've watched.
So we don't just not including beverages because the hot chocolate.
No, that is fantastic. That's a hold on. That's the best food.
They've done a good job.
They've done a good job. Listen,
that's going to be on the DVD box. Brand from Deck the Hallmark says they've done good job.
Listen,
in Love Ever After the season, they've done good job with food. They've done the tacos remember last week.
We didn't really see the food that much. Like it looked decent, but like this, that burger.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The burrito looked great, but we didn't get to see it like we saw the burger. The burger looked like it had bacon and four cheeses.
Oh my gosh, it looked wonderful. It
looked really good. Yeah. Alonzo feels?
Location feels for sure. Mm. Again, I think that there's they made an effort to sort of incorporate where they were shooting and didn't, you know, kind of spend all the money in transporting everybody there, because you know you got one actor playing two roles, so that's a savings right there. You know, and I think there were moments in this where I just kind of stopped and thought, wow, this is really quite well written. So yeah. You know, even if I wasn't getting like the big flaming chemistry between these two, I did just sort of admire along the way, you know, how well put together this thing was. And I would agree, it is the best of 2021 so far.
So my feels are just Jeremy Jordan doing the both parts, because if you remember way back in 2018 when we watched Switch for Christmas, our big critique of CCB's performance was that both of those characters started out as two unique roles, but then once they swapped, they just became it.
Oh my gosh.
And it was the same character for both. And I felt like Jeremy for the large duration of this movie, like you knew who was doing what. Like you knew both characters. And I felt like he did a really good job, and that gave me like, yay, they did it good this time feels.
Far be it from me or anyone here to speak poorly of CCB. We would not do that on this program.
But heavens no.
It almost makes you think that she doesn't have the range to play two characters that are twins in a movie. Almost. I don't want to, but I think that there's a chance that maybe she wasn't.
Are you
cut
saying
out.
You want to see a Jeremy Jordan CCB act off?
I think that it would be over before it started is the problem. And I think because go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. Jeremy, when you play twins, so in the case of this one, Jeremy Jordan has to figure out who Josh is. He has to figure out who Julian is. And then he is called upon to play Josh pretending to be Julian and Julian pretending to be Josh.
Right.
And CCB doesn't do any of that.
No, not even. She lost you at the two characters.
But he doesn't even the pretending. He does a good job of both of them. Julian playing Josh, he doesn't have the same awkward mannerisms as Josh playing Julian. He did them both uniquely.
Watching Josh play Julian the first time is my feels, because I laughed a ton when he goes down to sign up and ETN or whoever is like, Julian, and he does this like weird like half wink and gun thing that he's about to pull out, and then kind of realizes that he's Julian, and he's like, no. And he keeps walking this way. I laughed really hard. That's funny. That's a funny bit. And this guy is acting his tail off, man. He's doing a great job. My feels were some of the comedic instances. Mm-hmm. And then when Julian tries to play Josh and tries to lower, it reminded me of Daniel Levy in Happiest Season when he comes and plays the fiance. Like it was this same kind of like trying to adjust the tone of his voice. It was wonderful. I thought they both, the Jeremy Jordan steals the show in this movie. He's so wonderful. He's the best performance we've had in a long time. And in all honesty, I know it's early, but you can go ahead and put a little Deckies alert stamp on this.
Deckies alert!
If you're going to give me a better male performance than this year, I would be shocked. This has got to get a nomination. Has to.
Deckie alert!
Thank you. Thanks, Trace.
The one to beat.
That's
the
right.
The one to beat. Yeah. I thought you said Daniel Lissing, and I was excited to see where you're going with it. Now I know.
Nope.
Daniel Lissing, though. He's great. Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about the Wait What's and the What the Hallmarks for this flick entitled Mix Up in the Mediterranean on this podcast, also titled Deck the Hallmark.
I Oh man, gosh. Alonzo, for the last time, you can't do that during the break, man.
I keep forgetting it's friendly TV.
Oh my gosh. You're going to make me work overtime this week, editing.
Wow.
We're talking about Mixed in the Mediterranean, and we're talking about the Wait What's, the part of the show where we talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what? Panda, what you got, buddy?
When his Julian's back gives out, he's going for the suitcase, and for the life of me, I don't know what happens. Like, I'm trying to, I don't think you can recreate that in a million years.
The physics behind his fall are fascinating.
He falls backwards.
When you start getting older, like upper 30s, 40s, 50s, you know what I'm talking about,
I
Panda.
Do.
Your back will just tweak for no reason whatsoever. True. He literally bent down to do something he's done virtually thousands of times.
But he falls backwards, and I don't understand.
The physics don't work either.
It doesn't make any sense. So I'm trying to get a feel for this. I understand that the entire competition is based off of your skills, generally speaking, as a chef. But the very first round, They don't taste any of the food. They don't taste the food. How do you not, like, at that point, what do you do? What is happening right now?
Yeah, it seems to be that this is a progressive challenge, because in the first round, they don't taste the food, and then they announce the winners that night. The second round, they do taste the food, announce the winners that night. The third round, they just announce the winner right away. That's what they do.
I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense at all. I don't know why they would need to wait an entire evening. Can you imagine making a dish and then sitting around in Malta all day wondering if it was good enough?
Their knife skills were very good.
I don't understand. Judges deliberating like it's a jury? Like, what are we doing? It's ridiculous.
What do you think it would have tasted like if we tried it?
Hey, what been good?
What been good? I can tell you right now. Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
That's the food.
The food boy.
Look at this. Should we eat it? No. Let's look at it.
It's pretty.
Black truffle.
The dude who deals in legal black truffles.
We got questions.
Maybe he's a what the Hallmark, but he's fascinating to me. I don't understand why. He seems very shady for somebody dealing in a very legal substance. I don't understand. And then the final thing is, why did Meg get blamed? I mean, she gets the full blame for the brothers doing the flip.
Switcheroo.
That has nothing to do with her. Literally nothing. Like, they trick everybody, and yet she's getting so much shade thrown at her. I don't understand that. Like, I would be mad if I'm Meg. I would be clearly upset. They should have been probably kicked out of the competition. But, like, why is Meg getting thrown under the bus? I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. But she deserves it.
The German lady had it out for her the whole
time. That's true. No. Stop.
Stop.
There's too much hurt in this world. Too much fighting.
Alonso, wait, what?
A few. I will say, as much as I enjoy Jeremy Jordan's performance, and down to that he's differentiating the twins, even by the way they stand, he's got a deep Broadway background. You know, I'm sure he knows a lot of gay dudes. There are some scenes early on where he's really going heavy with the hands, which I was like, honey, calm down. And he did, thankfully. So there was a moment where we're like, is this what we're going to do here? Okay. The scene where Meg's dad comes to Jay Northrup and he runs out of the kitchen and is just like so grovelly about like, oh, please put my restaurant in your hotels. I'm like, if you're a big foofy New York chef,
no way.
Even if you are desperate to get in this guy's hotels, you're going to still be arrogant about it, and you would never grovel that much. And you certainly wouldn't be rude to the guy's daughter in front of him like that. On all of that scene, it was like, nope. All the stuff with the contract loophole, the fact that the judges don't punish them for having cheated but gotten away with it and still let them win, that seemed crazy. And then, again, Meg's dad at the very end, who has been just the worst this whole movie, like a complete awful bad dad, suddenly comes around and is all like, you know, hooray, yay you. Like, it's like, I'm not buying that at all. So those were my biggies. But these are minor compared to most of these movies.
Yeah, the guy buys a castle and he's suddenly like, oh, I care.
You know how it is.
You know, when you buy a castle, it really puts things into perspective.
It really does.
I got a couple. One is, Homer, how dumb do you think we are to try this move? You show us a close-up of each of these competitors and we see them. There's five. And in the first round, Hallmark has the nerve to say there's 10 and we're cutting it to 5.
Yep.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. We only saw 5. You showed us all of them, Hallmark.
Yep.
Do you think we're dumb and we're just like, oh, I must have missed it. No, no, no.
Just say there's 5 competitors.
Just say there's 5.
What's so hard about that?
Hey, guys, I missed that.
She said we have 10 competitors.
Yeah, no, and I was running the numbers, and I sat there, and I thought maybe
this was the confusing thing. When they said we brought in 10, I thought it was they were counting the chef and the sous chef. But the reason it doesn't work is because they said we're splitting you into
5 groups of 2.
Yes.
Or no, two groups of five.
Yeah.
Because there's only 5 workstations.
There's only 5 workstations.
And then when they announced the finalists.
It's all the people we've...
Aside from one joker.
But I think I saw that joker.
Who raised his glass and he's like, he was in the other group, clearly.
Yeah, I was...
It's ridiculous.
Very confused. Why couldn't they just do them all? She starts to really pitch working for the restaurant to Josh as Julian. And her big, I got big ideas, is flowers and candles on the tables.
Yeah.
That's the idea she brought. I couldn't fall asleep last night because I was thinking, what if you put, you know, normal restaurant stuff on the tables? I found it very funny that they win at the very end of this competition. Julian walks off, Josh walks up to Meg, and so the poor TV people are stuck interviewing the losers in the background. They're just sitting there interviewing. How's it feel to lose to the Alaskan fellas?
That's right.
I am not one to judge anybody on hair, but I will say Josh, you
had two months.
You knew it was coming up. It was either going to be today or it was going to be tomorrow. The 2 months were up tomorrow, and you went with that hair, my buddy, my guy. You blew it. I no one would have blamed Meg if she walks in and goes, oh, and she walks right out. That's how bad it was, my man.
Crooked.
Ryan Philippe from 2003 is upset at that haircut. Like, it is just
it's wild.
Lawnmower sideways.
It's wild.
I don't know what's happening there.
It's a hate crime against straight people, that haircut. Oh, I forgot one huge one, by the way, which is that after all of the subterfuge that these guys have managed to do the whole time, then Julian decides to have his big confrontation with Josh out in front of the hotel, in front of Etienne and God and everybody.
That's like, right.
Well, gee, I guess this is going to be act 3 now.
Yeah.
Amen. So good.
Dano?
So I just have so many. He is in his diner in Alaska and he has food. There are tickets he's supposed to be making for people, patrons in his diner. And instead he's working on a baked Alaska. It's not even on the menu. My man is just pouring over this dessert and there are customers waiting for their food. And I, for the life of me, don't know how we get past that. You can't be good at your job if that's what you're gonna do. And then some server or somebody calls back. This is the order they call back. 3 cheeseburgers and a grilled cheese and no fancy stuff.
like black truffle.
Yeah, like what is he going to do? Like sneak in like a Haricots Verts on the side of a cheeseburger? Like, is this like my, well, what is he doing? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why?
There's one Alaska thing that the CCB movie, not the twin one, but the Santa one, gets right that this one doesn't, which is that it takes getting food to Alaska is a challenge. Like everything has to get flown in. They don't have a ton of fresh produce. They don't like, there was a whole article I read about how the big thing there is they take cake mix and like mix it with Sprite because like it's hard to get eggs up there. And so that diner has like lettuce everywhere and like so much produce. I'm like, where in Alaska is this?
Yeah, nowhere is where it is. Can we talk about the competition for a second? they put every contestant pretty much on house arrest to compete in this thing. You have to wear a bracelet. You can't take off. And I just want to make sure I get the quote correct. If it breaks, you're disqualified. If your bracelet breaks, you're disqualified from the entire event. This is not how cooking things work. Like, they're like, look, we had these twins 1 year. So we're not messing around anymore. We're not doing it. Also, each chef has to provide their own ingredients. Guys, like, the only way to really determine who made the dish the best is to have the same ingredients across the board. Like, you're not tasting like to like. Like, in all these cooking shows, it's very important that the kitchen have the ingredients.
Everything's regulated, yep.
For everyone, that's the same. You're not tasting who's the better chef. You're tasting who's the better ingredient picker at that point, to some extent.
It's a shopping competition.
It's a supermarket sweep.
Well, over to Guy's Grocery, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It's just a supermarket sweep.
The
knockoff.
Not only did the guy, it's a good one.
I know it is.
It's a real show. I know it is. Not only did the
Guy's Grocery Games, there it is.
The black market black truffle guy was also very weird, but the guy, Clyde Peters or whatever his name, Chester or whatever his name is, he's talking with Jeremy Jordan and Jessica Lowndes, and he's like, that's him right there. And if he sees anybody watching him, he gets spooked and he leaves. They're talking 15 feet away from him and pointing at him. While there's that guy, you see him right there, the big fat one over there on the bench. He gets spooked if you're talking about him. So dumb. I don't understand that at all.
Black Truffle Ronald. He's very nervous.
Yeah. They call him Black Truffle Ron. Don't say it too loud. They make a cheeseburger together in the evening, but they need the dough. Mm. And he does a full ghost bit there. But I got to be honest,
it always
guys.
Works, man.
If you are kneading dough for a cheeseburger bun, you're a long way from that cheeseburger. You have some time. You have some time to kill. In fact, I would suggest eating the cheeseburger tomorrow night, because you're not getting in the next few hours easy. It's just not happening.
They're using instant yeast.
Instant yeast that they have to knead out themselves. That's exactly right.
That's a breakfast burger.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's a breakfast burger. Egg on that bad boy. The burgers that they serve at the second round are the most delicious thing I've ever seen. One of the buns has a giant full black truffle in the side of the bun. And that is not how that would work at all.
They wanted to make sure we knew.
This line, I'm philosophically and just, you know, went into my Descartes self to just try to unpack this bad boy. She gets off the phone and she goes, I'm really sorry. That was ETN. And he was babbling on saying, you're not being who you say you are. I don't know. I don't know. He says you're not who you say you are. You're not being who you say. He is being who he says he is, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he's trying to be the person he says he is. I just don't quite understand that. And then lastly, it's a pretty big loophole to not have someone's name in the contract. Can I just say, like, straight up, the fact that his name, Julian Northrup, appears nowhere in the entire contract, it's a pretty big gaffe on the part of this competition that's been around for over 50 years. Yeah. To not have the name there, kind of a big deal.
Just sign your own name.
Well, just sign whatever you want.
You signed with an X, so you can stay in the competition.
That's right. That's it. That's all it takes.
It's time for the What the Hallmark. It's the part of the show where we talk about any questions that we still have that we would love some answers to. Panda?
I need to know more about ETN. This guy, every single time he appears, I get he's a bad guy, but he is...
He's doing a full Peter Sellers Inspector
Clouseau. Yeah, he is, which I appreciated about it, but I also, like...
That is not my dog.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
He's next level. Like, he says the meanest things to people while smiling, and that fascinates me and terrifies me at the same time.
Classic
like, he
cringe.
Says, like, I haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm just going to go for the jugular every single time, and I, you know what? It was refreshing. Can I say that? Refreshing in his honesty. A little mean. I wouldn't probably be friends with him, but I want to see more of him. He's great.
Yeah.
I want to know more about that guy.
Amen. But Dan, you said that's the only thing he's ever done.
No. Chester. The old guy that plays Chester. He has one IMDb credit, and it's mixed up in the Mediterranean.
Wow.
Mediterranean.
One debut.
Which is crazy.
So good, man.
What a debut. Alonzo?
Yeah, I Panda's right. We need more of that D-bag energy in these Hallmark movies because everyone's too nice. Even though I know Panda thinks that that Meg shouldn't take the blame for screwing up this competition. I mean, somebody's head has to roll. And between that and the terrible candles and flowers idea, what's her empire going to be like? Because from all indications, she is not good at her job.
Her empire should be called I Didn't Build This, because she literally only has a job because of her dad. And then her other suggestions and other ideas are bad.
Her need to avoid nepotism is honorable, but it's like, but what else you got?
Yeah. No, that's fair. My biggest one, and it comes back to the truffle guy. I wish we could have known how it transpired, because my guy took them to point at the truffle guy.
That's right. And then he says, you need to get lost in the market.
Get lost in the market. And then I'll approach him. I don't know. I want to know how he got the truffles. I think maybe he's the truffle guy.
Chester.
And he's trying to throw people off the scent.
That's good.
Because it makes no sense to point out a random guy and then tell them to get lost and I'll handle it.
Because that means that the guy didn't have the truffles on him.
Why does it matter if they come and see the guy if they're not going to be the ones that ask him?
Doesn't matter.
Unless,
never go to a second location for truffles.
That's unless right. He's trying to throw them off the scent that he's the truffle man.
You think Chester's the truffle
man? I think Chester's the truffle
man. Kaiser Soze.
Oh, I love it. Wow. It's great.
Chester's Thursday.
I have two. One is I can't believe a restaurant called Chester's by the Sea failed in Malta, but since it did, I want to know how. What were you thinking?
He said bad businessman. That's what he said.
Why don't we call it? I don't know. Chester's by the Sea in Malta.
Sounds People like thought it was going to be Cheetos themed, and they were very disappointed when
very
it wasn't.
Disappointed. And then second of all, I want to.
I'll have the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Just regular.
I want to know about the parents of the twin boys when they were naming their kids Josh and Julian. I just want to know how they got there. Those names seem to be from two different worlds, and for them to name twin boys those two names just didn't add up to me.
It's very simple. You want one kid to be straight and one to be gay. You name the straight one Josh and the gay one Julian. And it just, you know, biology takes over from that
point. I tried my best to lob that one to you, Alonzo, as best I could.
Somebody needed to say it. I know y'all were too reticent. So,
It just seemed very kind of ridiculous that we needed these two names so you in your head can make sure you know which one is gay. That was the only reason Hallmark did it. And that's offensive.
What? Because if he's named Julian, not only is he gay, he's going to be the kind of gay who drops random French words into sentences for no apparent reason,
right,
just to let you know that he studied at the Cordon Bleu whatever.
If they wanted to really do it right, Julian should have been the straight guy. That would have been the way to do it.
That would have thrown everyone.
And Josh.
No. That's what I call a mix-up.
That's a mix-up.
Right?
Wild. It's a mix-up.
He would have gone as Joshua.
Mix up in middle America's living room is what that would have been. No, wait a minute. This is Josh. He's the straight one. No, it's not, Grandma.
It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible.
He would go by Joshua because that's the gay thing. You know, like, I don't know a lot of Mikes, but I know a lot of Michaels.
There
you know,
it is. Such a thing, you
know. And if the cutting off the power of the workstation seemed familiar, it's because they pull that same move in the first Princess Switch movie.
I can't remember. I didn't remember that from not watching it.
Etienne saw it though. He got some ideas.
He's like, "Oh, that's good stuff."
He's crafty. I'll save that one for later.
That one's on our Monday
it's
list.
It's on our Monday.
We're gonna get to it.
We're gonna get to it, everybody. We did it. Congratulations, yay, everybody! Woo. Wow, wow, wow!
Proud of you, Brent.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everybody.
Yeah.
We're gonna be back tomorrow. Very exciting interview that I think you're gonna
really
I think it's gonna
really tug at your heartstrings.
Call your heart. And so we'll be back on Thursday. Well,
I said tug at your heartstrings. You said call your heart.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
Something about a heart. Speaking of hearts, when calls the heart on Thursday? Oh, episode 8. Man, we'll see.
Dude, just the best show.
Just the best show. We'll see if that episode has legs to walk on. And on Friday,
we'll see if that episode has legs to walk on.
It works.
Oh my gosh, man!
And on Friday, we're talking about Trading Christmas.
Yeah, we are.
Debbie McComers.
Debbie McComers.
Don't you leave out Debbie's name for the love of God. It's Debbie McComers.
It's in the contract.
It's in the contract.
Love that.
Before we leave, the double decker of the week. Yeah, it's my decker. It's your decker. Double decker of the week. Who do we have today?
Andrea Clausen. Clausen. We're going to go with Clausen. Two A's. Clausen.
Yeah.
You've done the deep dive, Panda. You walked in with a little spring in your step. Is it a good one?
Oh, today? It's probably the best I've heard of since last week. And Andrea, listen, she's crushing the food industry day by day. And with high concept art mixed in with concept food. Mid concept. You get it.
Okay.
I'm glad you understand. Name of her new restaurant. This isn't her first merry-go-round. This is big. It's called You Creeped Up on Me.
You creeped up on me?
Yeah, you creeped up on me.
It doesn't sound okay,
no,
buddy.
No, it's, you're going to like it, Dan. It's a hide-and-go-seek while eating crepes.
What's the pun? Creeped? Is it like creeped?
Yeah, you crept.
Crept.
Yeah. You crept up on me.
C-R-E-P-T.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But it's, you creeped up on me. Yeah.
So you eat crepes, which seems like a difficult thing to eat on the go.
It's harder than you think to sneak up on someone while you're eating a crepe. How silently can you do it? You don't know.
Now,
how you figure it out, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but yeah.
What do you do when you've finished your crepe? Do you always have to have crepe on plate?
You got
to
get another crepe?
Yeah, you get another crepe.
Wow.
Until the game goes on.
So it would behoove you to not eat the crepe.
Well, you got to. You got to eat while sneaking.
Is it a timing? Are people watching to time you?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Absolutely. It's kind of like laser tag.
Okay.
Except with a crepe. And no lasers or tag. It's like hide and go seek.
There's not a with world a crepe. Where this is
like. I know exactly what you mean when you say that. It's like laser tag. Okay.
But with crepes.
With crepes. So really quickly, though. So you have, let's say, 5 minutes to creep up on as many people as you can.
Yep.
Now, but who are you hiding or are you seeking?
You're the one seeking because you got to be that.
So who's hiding?
Who's hiding?
Another friend. You could just invite another friend.
Do they have to eat crepes?
They don't have to eat crepes.
Now, let me, can I throw this by you? And you can take this. You can take this to Andrea.
You're
going to
get there. Yeah, Andrea.
What if you were seeking the crepes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because then you sell a lot more crepes that way.
You think so?
One person hiding and looking. It's a lot harder than all these people that have to eat crepes and hide at the same time.
Yeah, no. I like that idea. No.
You take that to her and she can do what she wants.
This was thought of 90% of the way through and then we just need to get it over the goal.
And that's fair. That's what happens with entrepreneurs. Sometimes this
and
is
arts,
group
and art. And art. Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, entrepreneurs.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
We did everybody when we got tomorrow. We can't wait for it. Hope you'll join us. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam Podcast ad-free, go to BrambleJamPlus.com.